Matthew chapter 7. Chapter 7 is the last chapter of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So chapters 5, 6, and 7, we've been going through his Sermon on the Mount. First verse, very well known by people who do not even know God's Word. I'd like to quote this one. Do not judge that you be not judged. Unfortunately, that's all they know. They don't go anywhere past this. They're usually using that because they're doing something they know they shouldn't do and they don't want to be called on the carpet for it. But let's continue reading. Let's not rip it out of its context. Let's continue reading. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. So in other words, whatever standard you're using to judge somebody, be careful, because the same standard's going to be used on you. And with what measure you use, it shall be measured to you again. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not consider the beam that is in your own eye? Okay, so you've got somebody using God's word saying, hey, God's word says that you're not supposed to be doing that, and you're doing that. Well, if you're doing the same thing, that's when you have no business judging. But does it end there? Or will you say to your brother, let me pull the speck out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye. You hypocrite. Then look what it says. First, cast the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast the speck out of your brother's eye. Fix your sin before you call somebody else on the carpet for their sin. Now, that doesn't mean we have to wait around till we're perfect before we can teach others, because none of us are perfect. So if we had to wait till we were perfect before we taught anybody the Word of God, nobody would be hearing the Word of God. And as a side note, John 7:24, let's see what it says. I have it as a reference. This is Jesus, and he says, do not judge according to the appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So we can judge. Judging simply means comparing two things. Just like a judge in a court of law, he's comparing what does the law of the land say versus what this person's actions were, and comparing the two. And they're either guilty of breaking the law or they're not guilty of breaking the law. Do not give what is holy to the dogs. Do not cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn back and tear you apart. Basically, with this, Jesus is saying, don't waste your time on people who don't care. There are so many people out there that we want to try to reach. And if somebody is belligerent, doesn't believe in God, doesn't care, doesn't believe in the Word of God, doesn't believe any of it, and just wants to attack you, walk away. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Pigs do not know the value of pearls. People do not know the value of God's Word if they have a bad heart. He continues, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, in all things, whatever you want man to do to you, you should do just so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. I think Jesus is telling us to be persistent in our prayers to God. Of course, we can't be asking God for, you know, $1 million to show up in our mailbox or anything like that. We need to be appropriate in what we ask, but be persistent. God wants to take care of us. God cares about us. And that last verse I just read, of course, it's a pretty well-known one too. We usually refer to it as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Then he goes into the two ways of life. There's only two ways to travel through life. Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because the gate is narrow and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. This is a pretty sad verses. Jesus is saying that most people are going to be lost. Most people are not going to live a Christian life. You look around in our country and you're like, oh, you know, yeah, this is considered a Christian nation, which, by the way, it's not a Christian nation, but that's what people will call it. And I think most people think that they're saved. Those who believe in God think that they are saved. They'll call themselves Christians, and I'm a good person, so I'm going to heaven. And sadly, it's not true, because they don't know anything about the Word of God. They don't know the plan of salvation. They're not a member of the Lord's church. They're not living the Christian life. They're just living whatever moral standard that they're okay with. They may have a casual belief in God and a casual belief in Christ, and they might go to church a couple times a year, maybe at Christmas and Easter, and that makes them a Christian, and it's simply not the case. And so I find those verses very sad. I have a reference to 1 Peter 3:20. Let's turn over there real quick. 1 Peter 3:20. Who formerly were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. That's just a comparison to the time of the flood. I don't know how many people were living on the planet at that time, but think about it. Only eight people out of the whole world's population, only eight people were righteous enough for God to save. That's very sad. Now Jesus goes into warning about false teachers. He says, beware of false prophets. And today it would be false teachers, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. In other words, you're going to know them by what they say, what they teach, and what they do. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. People will show their colors. Now, a lot of people are very good at fooling people, but they're not going to fool everybody all the time. Their true colors will eventually show, especially false teachers, because they'll teach things. And if we are good Bible students, we will go to the Bible and say, okay, this is what this man taught. Is that what God teaches in his word? No, it's not. Okay. He's a false teacher then. Now, it's possible that he could have just been mistaken. He could just be making an error. But a lot of them, it's with full intention to deceive. And I'm going to put televangelists in that group, because they use religion to get rich. And that's all they care about. And I think that's disgusting. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Of course, he's talking about people and their lives. Therefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Next, he's going to go into religious people. Religious people who are disobedient. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and have cast out demons in your name and done many wonderful works in your name? So these are religious people. These are not atheists. These are religious people who believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ, and yet they don't obey him. They do their own thing. And they'll say, oh yes, we're doing this, and we're doing that, and we're doing this in worship to God, even though we have no authority from God whatsoever to do it. But God's gonna like it anyway, because, you know, it's coming from us, and coming from our hearts, and so we're just gonna do it our way. Look what Jesus says. Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Wait a minute. We're religious people. I think there's going to be a lot of surprised people on Judgment Day. I really do. People who were like, well, I went to church a couple times a year, and you know, I was a good person, and I believed in God and Christ. What's the problem? I'm a good person. I'm a Christian. Are you? Do you even know what that means? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Okay, so there's at least two things that we have to do. We have to hear the word of God, and we have to do it. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. So these types of people are people who hear the word of God, study it for themselves, and do it, obey it. And these are well-grounded people, well-grounded in the word of God. And that's exactly the type of person I want to be. I want to be well-grounded in the word of God. Especially today, because morals are changing on a daily basis. What used to be wrong 20 years ago is perfectly acceptable and wonderful today. Then he says, and everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. So these are people who, yeah, they hear the gospel, but they don't care, and they're not going to obey it, or not going to believe it. They shall be compared to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. These are people who are not well grounded in the word of God. I consider these people to be liberals. Their morals change on a daily basis. They just go with the flow. You know, if homosexuality was wrong 5 years ago, but today it's a wonderful thing, I'll go with that. You know, if abortion is accepted in this country, I'll go with that. Yeah, I'm not well grounded in the word of God at all. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, so he's now finished his Sermon on the Mount, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, of course he taught them as one having authority. He's the Son of God. He has all authority. Okay, and that is chapter 7.